Hi.
Hello.
Welcome back to another episode of Beaker Bros,
where we drink out of beakers
because we're bros.
I'm Sonia.
And I'm Janooni.
And today we have a very exciting episode, more exciting than past ones, I would say. And that's because we're interviewing our pals, Sunjum and Reva. And basically what we'll be doing today is a continuation of our life after undergrad mini series that we're doing here, and we'll be diving into a little bit of what it's like to be a medical student in Ontario. So I guess we'll give a little bit of an introduction to each of our guests. Janooni, would you like to do the first one?
Sure. Reva Patel is a first-year medical student at the University of Toronto's Mississauga Academy of Medicine. She completed her Bachelor of Medical Sciences with a double major in Interdisciplinary Medical Sciences and Physiology at University of Western Ontario.
We also have Sunjum Hunjin, who is a first-year medical student at McMaster University's Michael G. DeGroote School of Medicine. She completed her BHSC, or Bachelor of Health Sciences, in Biomedical Discovery and Commercialization with a minor in Business at McMaster University as well. Welcome, guys.
Hey.
Hi.
Hello.
I guess just like start this off, you know, not to get right into everything. We're going to start off with a little gratitude. So, Reva, do you want to start off with something that made you happy within the past week?
Yeah, okay. I was really happy to, I guess bittersweet actually. I was happy to see my grandpa before he went back to India, but I was very happy about it because he was so happy with his trip this time after, you know, a big pandemic. I mean, it's still going on, but you know, travel was a little bit better this year. So I was happy to finally have seen him, and it was, although it was sad to see him go, it was a nice end of the summer kind of thing. So yeah,
that's very so sweet. Glad about that. Was this his first time in Canada, or has he been here for a while?
No, he's come a couple of times, but this was his longest trip, and it was very special. Yeah.
Oh, awesome! You get to say a little farewell to him too. That's kind of cute.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh.
Awesome. Sunjum, what about you?
That's really wholesome. Mine's not as wholesome. I just went grocery shopping with my two new med school friends who are in my tutorial. And that made me happy because after like a month, I think I'm kind of finding my people. Mm-hmm. And so my people and I went to Food Basics and Fortinos to capitalize on 10% off Tuesdays.
Oh, wow. Heck yeah.
I have a very important question, a follow-up question. Yeah. Did you buy from the grocery store? What was your favorite purchase?
Oh, goat cheese.
Oh.
Because I want to make a summer salad tonight.
Oh.
I'm very excited for that.
Oh. What exactly is a summer salad?
Great question. So I went out for lunch with my mom and we got this salad that had like blackberries and strawberries like muddled with walnuts and like a balsamic vinaigrette with spring mix greens. Really good. Ooh. And goat cheese.
Wow. Whoa.
That sounds like a pretentious salad, but right on.
I'm chefing now. This isn't undergrad anymore. I can eat greens now.
She's a real woman now.
Exactly.
Awesome. Okay. Well, I'm glad you guys had a happy week, I guess. So after that, we'll just dive right into our first few questions. So our first question here, I'll direct this to Sunjum first. So when did you start thinking about medicine as a career, and sort of related to that, why medicine?
Oh, this takes me back to interview season. So this actually goes back to the year 2008, believe it or not. I have an older sister who's now in law school, and she always wanted to be a lawyer. So I remember she was asking me what I wanted to do with my life. And I wanted to be a princess because I thought that was just like a fun job to have. And I thought that it wouldn't be a lot of work. I was just trying to relax and do some philanthropy. but then my sister was like, Sunjum, Princess Diana died. And I was like, true, can't be a princess. So I was like, looks like I'll be a doctor instead. So I became fixated on that concept, some would say. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really question whether or not like that was a real thing, because like I feel like as a kid you get validation for saying like important things. So I was like, okay, people seem to like this. So I like ran with it till university, and then making like undergrad choices, I was like, okay, what do I actually want to do? And then I thought about it. I liked how science challenged me. I was never very good at science. I was a lot better at like history and English. So I wanted a nice challenge. I liked working with people. I liked kind of like interdisciplinary learning, but in a very like practical clinical setting. So I was like, okay, I'll try to do this. And it has stuck since then. So I'd say really I wanted to be a doctor since like grade 12.
Wow. Gotcha.
So the princess gig didn't work out is what I'm hearing.
Sadly, it did not. But if you know someone who's looking, send them my way.
I'll let you know.
Man, if I know someone that's looking, like, I'm taking it.
Sorry, Sonia, sorry.
But Reva, what about you? What made you think about medicine as a career?
I was been very indecisive in what I've wanted to do. I knew it was something in science and healthcare because I've always enjoyed that. Like throughout high school, I really enjoyed science. A couple of volunteer things, I liked being in the healthcare setting, but I never really knew like what role in the healthcare field I wanted to play. So I kind of like grappled with different type of like healthcare professionals for a while, like optometry, pharmacy, but like nothing really ever stuck. Like in high school, I did a co-op in an optometry clinic and it just didn't work out for me. It was a great environment, but I just realized that wasn't a fit for me. So I was kind of just entering university with like no idea of what I wanted to do, but I was like, seems far enough that I don't really have to make that decision yet. And then I guess I had my like awakening moment was when my sister got really sick, and that kind of put a lot of things into perspective. Like our whole dynamic changed as a family, and I was, you know, we were in the hospital a lot and stuff like that. So I think that really opened my eyes to how gracious I was to the healthcare system, first off, and how I could potentially see myself working in a similar field. And then I kind of catered my, I guess, experiences to be in those settings more to see if this is something that I could enjoy. Didn't really help that a lot of the stuff was online after, but it's okay, we worked through it. And then I think that just seeing how the doctors and the nurses and everyone interacted with my family, with my sister and everything, that I just like, I don't know, it just felt like the right thing. It felt like I can do this in the future and I would love to help a family, like how it kind of worked out for us. So yeah, I guess it worked out. But
clearly, yeah. I did. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you figured it out now.
Awesome.
Seems like it.
Before you ask your question, I have a follow-up to that. So I remember very clearly back with, what was it, grade 11 co-op doing the autopsy, whatever. Can you maybe elaborate on why it may have not been a good fit for you, like that specific field, or I guess whatever the position was?
Yeah. So I can't speak on like optometry like as a whole because like I was there for a couple of months.
And you were in grade 11.
I was in grade 11. I really didn't do much. But what I noticed is that I really enjoyed when I was able to help the doctor when it came to like patient interaction and that type of stuff. But I didn't really enjoy like the business side of it, like when it came to like glasses and like selling glasses and like that type of stuff. So I realized that that's like a really huge part of, you know, optometry. You know, it's kind of two-handed. So that kind of wasn't really a fit for me. I know that there will be some sort of business aspect to healthcare too. I guess I haven't figured it out yet, but hopefully I'll be able to balance both. So then it's, you know, more focused on the healthcare, less on the business.
Gotcha.
Okay. Perfect. Okay. So for the next one, I'll start off with Sundrum. This is kind of a question asking what experiences or courses, even extracurriculars, you think have helped you set up or even prepared for starting med school?
Good question. I think that all of the non-medicine related extracurriculars helped me far more than any of the like strict like medicine ones. Like I did all of like the typical pre-med ones. Like I did some mentorship. I volunteered at a hospital. I shadowed someone in a clinic. But I'd say two experiences that have helped me a lot is one, I'm a crisis line responder for the sexual assault center for Hamilton and area, Sasha. And then the second one is I'm a board member at the Children's International Learning Center, which is a not-for-profit in Hamilton. And I guess I'll just dive in a bit on each of those. So for Sasha, I think it really providing support to survivors of sexual assault is a very daunting task, but I think it taught me how to listen to people in a way that I didn't know how to before, like what active listening really is, what trauma-informed care is, and how to be really mindful with your interactions with different people. And I really think it's taught me not only how to provide support for people, which I'm sure will help me in my career, of course, later down the line, but I think it's also taught me like how to be a better friend, a better family member. And I think going into interviews, that really helped me, because certain things that might have been daunting, like during an MMI, like an acting station, I didn't really think twice about it, and it was really natural, which helped. And then for the CILC, the not-for-profit in Hamilton, that just taught me how being a board member and the youngest board member by a landslide, mostly it's like 50-year-olds, which I love them. They're lovely people. But kind of being thrown in the trenches of like how to operate a not-for-profit, like what funding is, how to develop programs, taking into consideration so many different things, and delivering a product at the end of the day has been like a very big task. But I think it taught me how to like manage my time, how to work with different age groups of people. It taught me how to take initiative in developing like different initiatives of what I'm passionate about. So I'd say those two experiences, the commonality in them is they taught me how to interact with others, which I don't think we learn in school. So I'm glad that I learned it outside of school, because I think it served me well in the whole application process. And I think it's just made me a better human.
Gotcha.
I love how like your experiences have like kind of bled through to other aspects of your life too, not even just medicine. Like that's really cool as well.
If I could do a quick follow-up before getting to Reva. You mentioned that the nonprofit taught you, I guess, how to take initiative in developing your own initiative. Have you done any of that yet? Has that come to fruition?
Yeah. So like an example is, so the CILC, we're about like equity and diversity. So our board structure was a hierarchy before. Like we had a president, we had a vice president. So if there were ever votes and there was a tie, the president would have an extra vote, which is inequitable, which is funny because our main thing is equity. So I worked with a consultant, and this was in like the summer of 2021, a not-for-profit consultant named William Jackson, absolutely lovely individual. And we rewrote all the bylaws and the policies for this organization, which is like 60 years old, at least 60 years old. So I helped him rewrite everything. And now the board structure, we're all on the same level. So like when we vote, we have rotating chairs. So it's not like a president who chairs the meeting. We each have 2 months and we rotate through. So that's been one thing that took a lot of my time during MCAT summer, but I'm glad that I did it.
Good for you.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Well, thank you for that. Reva, how about you? Any experiences or courses or even extracurriculars that have helped you with med school?
Well, it's only been like 2 weeks, yes. But I would say actually very similar to what Sandim said, but I think my extracurriculars that were not science related, not med related, were like extremely helpful. I'm also part of a crisis text line, but this is for Kids Help Phone. And I feel a similar experience to you in that you learn how to like listen and talk better. Cause you go through a certain training and you sometimes can think like, what's the point, like I already know how to talk, but then you actually go through the training and you're like, wait, there are certain type of words you should be using, there are certain things you should be catching like when you're listening. And I think that's really helped in just like listening to others. And I've noticed that, like I had my first clinical skills last week, and you know, we had to do a little bit of role playing, and I didn't realize the things that when I had to, you know, pretend to take history, the certain things that I had to try and catch for. And it was a little bit easier, I think, because when you're talking to someone, when they're super vulnerable, you're also trying to see like, are they okay? How can I best help them? And that's through listening. So I think that's really helped me. And I also think that like social clubs, it may seem odd, but I think it's important to have some fun club in your undergrad that like you can kind of fall back on. And I value those clubs for two reasons. One, just because like it's a good like de-stressor, because it can get pretty crazy with academics. But two, I think for me personally, it helped me build my confidence a lot. When I entered undergrad, I was like super shy, quiet person, didn't want to talk to anybody. But I think that like those type of clubs really pushed me to do something just for fun and also like talk to more people, because social clubs, that's what the people are there, you're making friends, you're getting people out to the events and stuff like that. And I think just being a part of people who are so energetic and extroverted kind of allowed me to come out of my shell a bit. And that helped me when it came to, you know, interviews, like I feel more confident talking, or even just meeting people at like a week this time around, you know, I just felt more secure in myself. And I think for anyone just trying to find a club or extracurricular or group that like you feel safe in, but that helps you grow as a person just in like those soft skills area, is like really helpful. Not even just for this, just for like anything you want to do in life future.
Definitely. Yeah. And to add to that, in terms of like just doing it for the sake of doing it, like even joining like a crisis support line, like I've just started training with Sacha and it's crazy. Like even the first two sets, the first two sessions, like they start showing you how to remove your bias, like the difference between providing support to a friend versus someone that you don't know, completely different, but it also at the same time helps you be a better friend. Like, I don't know, like I couldn't agree more to what you guys have said. So that's awesome. This is a super general next question. How has med school been so far? If anyone wants to jump in.
I'm a nice, well, we just finished 4 weeks on Friday and it has gone by so quickly. So we started quite early, August 8th. So currently we are on our respirology unit. It's like MF1 for us, or medical foundation one is respirology and cardiology. So we have 1 week left of respirology. So I feel like I know a lot about the lungs now and all the airways, upper, lower, you name it. It's been really like fast paced, but so nice meeting new people and having like such commonality in what you're interested in. And I think I'm almost like been more fixated on like the people than the school. Like school is there and it's constant and it's lovely. Like it's nice to finally study something that you're passionate about, and like clinical skills, great, tutorials are great, everything's cool. But like, I think what's really stood out to me at Mac is the people that I've met have like such interesting stories. Like no one has the same like degree or background or like experiences. And it's been so cool to meet people who are like very secure in their identities and like their futures. And like, I just think it's like a different friend making experience. So I guess to answer your question, first month was great. I have lots of information in my mind and lots of new friends that I'm very happy to talk to.
Awesome. That's very cute.
Yeah.
That was very cute. That's beautiful. Good for you. I'm really happy. Reba, what about you?
To kind of piggyback off of that, I think a lot of people will say like, you know, med school is fun, but like the people is really, it's so eye-opening, because you come from undergrad where everyone's basically the same age. They've basically all come from high school. You know, everyone's kind of doing their own thing, like their own thing, but you're at the same level, so to say. But whereas like here, there's people of all different ages, all different backgrounds, and you don't really realize that until you're here, when you're like talking to someone who's married and has a kid, but you're both learning the same thing. So your interests are, I guess, different now, but it's interesting to learn about, okay, you go to this concert, I haven't even heard of these people before, but like, this is who I'm listening to. And it's so interesting just like seeing different people's, I guess, go-tos, because so far we've all been in the same demographic, but now you're kind of like immersed in a group of people that are completely different from you, from like totally different areas. And I think you learn a lot from them, as Sandra was saying, which is like super awesome. But yeah, I haven't been in med school as long as you have. It's only been 2 weeks. It's definitely been super fun. Another thing that was kind of, I guess, eye-opening was that I was doing like 2 hours of class in undergrad in fourth year, and now we're right back into those 8 to 5 p.m. And it's it takes a toll on you in the beginning, but I'm sure, you know, you'll get used to it eventually. But yeah, I think it's another great thing is just that, like, finally, you're not just reading a textbook or just going to a lab, you're actually in person, you're like learning at workshops, you're learning from actual doctors. And I think that's allowed you to like, allows me to actually like put what I'm learning in class, because yeah, there are still lectures, like, into practice. So it helps you kind of solidify things a bit better. So yeah, I've been enjoying it so far. She's been great. And Mrs. Saga actually has been really amazing too, because I guess sometimes people can forget that campus when it comes to med school. So I've really been enjoying it.
Oh, I love that. I kind of like to kind of go with what you guys both were saying, is that like how there are people from so many different disciplines. Like, I feel like we both can speak for ourselves, like, mm-hmm. for our programs too, right? Like, just after like undergrad, when people are applying to like graduate programs, like, everyone's from different disciplines, but they somehow like manage to find that one program that you're all in. Like, I have a person in my program that was a physician assistant and now she's coming into that program. Or there's someone that was in history and coming into that program. It's like very like, there's variety in it. And it's really something like kind of cool about just like how humans are and how like education kind of like merges into one, and everyone can come from so many different paths and backgrounds and come to a common interest. Next question we have for you guys. I know, Reba, you've only had 2 weeks, and Sanjam, you've been a month. But so in order to learn human anatomy, you guys undertake the challenge and the privilege of dissection, right? So our question to you guys is, what thoughts run through your mind after experiencing dissection?
So we actually have not experienced a dissection yet, but we have had anatomy. We have it every Wednesday, and Mac is very notorious for like their anatomy because it's optional. But don't worry, everyone, I have gone every time. So tomorrow is actually mandatory though. But it's very interesting when you like go to anatomy for the first time. I never took anatomy in undergrad, and it's a very like sobering experience. Like, it kind of puts into perspective like how the human body actually looks. Like, your lungs aren't a piece of pink tissue, they actually look quite different. Or like, how do like lungs of like an individual with emphysema look like? That's not something I've ever thought about before, but like going to the anatomy lab has been a very interesting application of knowledge. Another thing I didn't know was your esophagus, not really big at all. I was picturing a big tube, but it's not a tube. It's very closed unless there's a bolus of food. Who would have known? Not me, until I saw an esophagus.
The more you know.
The more you know. Yeah, so it's been really interesting.
It sounds like med school is just going to be 3 years of learning facts that you probably won't use like 90% of your life, but you'll know them.
Yeah.
I'll know them.
How about you, Reba? I don't know if you've had the opportunity to dissection yet, but how about anatomy?
Well, actually, my first anatomy lab is tomorrow. Okay. So I guess this leads up nicely to that. I was just doing my pre-lab just now. I've taken anatomy in undergrad, but it was online. So I never went into like a dissection lab, and I've never done dissection. So I can't really speak too much on that. But over the summer, I actually did like a little bit of work with the anatomy department at Western. They are still trying to spearhead like more equity, diversity, and inclusion with the bodies that they receive in their body bequeathal program. And I think I learned a lot through that, just by how, like, what goes into the minds of people who sign up to donate their bodies for academic purposes, or even what measures are taken by the institution, or by Western, I should say, by Western when it comes to a program like this, that I honestly had never thought of before, because I was never put in that position. And I think it's very refreshing to hear that there are efforts being made to try and have, you know, more representation, even when it comes to something like this, because you don't think about it, but like when you look at a textbook and you see like a picture of some, like a disease, right? It's usually on someone who is of Caucasian descent, right? It's like what you commonly see. And that's also pretty common in the labs. I haven't seen it firsthand, but this is from what I've learned in that little you know, thing over the summer. And I think it's very interesting that we're so gracious, and it's very like humbling to be like, wow, these people have donated their lives to allow us to learn. But at the same time, you know, we also have to put in the effort to try and get more representation so we can see diseases in different profiles, because it's going to be different in everybody, right? So although I don't know much about dissection yet, maybe we should have scheduled this for another day after tomorrow. But I just feel like, I think it's going to be very eye-opening of like how real this all is, because I don't think it has quite hit me yet. So far, it just feels like an extension of undergrad. But yeah, I definitely agree with what Sandra's saying. I'm sure that when I get into the lab and I see certain things in person, different organs, that it'll definitely put stuff into perspective that I hadn't thought of before. So I'm very excited.
That's so cool. Yeah. I remember, I think we took the same course. It was like life-size.
The skin manifestation one.
Yeah. And it talked about how like a lot of, exactly like what you were saying, like a lot of research uses individuals of Caucasian descent instead of like diverse populations to study like different skin conditions or whatever it is. And I've never heard of anyone that's like actively involved in that sort of work. So that's super interesting. Are you still a part of that, or was that just the summer?
That I'm not part of it anymore. I know they're continuing. So there's definitely people at Western still working on it, but it's such a huge feat to like, you know, change up a whole program, right? So it'll definitely take some time, but it is really refreshing, you know, to know that there is stuff being started, whether it takes, you know, a year, a couple of years to put into plan, at least, you know, people are talking about it. So that's important.
100%. Before we continue on with other questions that we already have planned, I just thought of another question. Mm-hmm. I'll throw this to Sunjum first, though. So what was I going to say? Oh, yes. Can you guys maybe talk about if you were involved with research in your undergrad, what that was, and whether or not it's carrying on into med school?
Yes. I remember in first year, during the summer, I wanted a research position so badly, and I emailed 200 people and I did not get a single research position. So to anyone out there who's stressed about that, I felt you. And it was a very unfortunate time. But then in second year, I kind of focused my interests into research on aging. And at McMaster, there's this research institution called MIRA, the McMaster Institute for Research on Aging. I emailed a bunch of different profs, one of whom is Dr. Evelyn DeRouche, and we've been doing research together since I was in second year, so the last 3.5-ish years, and we actually worked on a project over the summer. A couple of the projects I've worked on with her are about safety and ethics in aging. So like the paternalistic nature of safety in older adults and how we try to safeguard them at the expense of their quality of life. Two projects I worked on this summer with her is one, the implications of COVID restrictions on informal caregivers and individuals living in long-term care homes. And then also there's a project about care aides in long-term care homes, which we just started at the end of the summer. So we just kind of submitted an ethics approval for that. And then I also worked with the Royal Victoria Hospital, and I did two research projects with them. One was about, honestly, I blank now. I forget. I remember it was good though.
You were there and that's what matters.
It was a good time. And then this summer we were doing a project about clinical trial selection criteria. So trying to make some sort of standardization in how clinical trials should be selected. And then I did an undergraduate thesis about the impact of cannabis usage on breast milk macronutrients and immune factors. So lots of research has been done. I am continuing my research with Dr. DeRouche through school. I'm trying to find out in which capacity that is logical to do, because not many people work in med school. But yeah, I was lucky enough to get some research experience, and I think that it worked out the way it did, because once again, like when you're passionate about something, it shows, people can tell. And my thing was research on aging and pediatric research. So I did a lot of stuff on that.
I could go off about like questions that I have just about everything that you said, because a lot of the stuff I didn't even know, but we'll have a conversation about that next time. But I do be like a methodology person, so I'd be interested in hearing about the selection criteria one specifically, but a conversation for another time.
Yeah.
How about you, Reba? Any research?
I was actually pretty late to the game when it came to research. I also, you know, emailed so many profs, so like all that, and was not met with much response. So I actually started doing research in third year, I think. And that was actually prime COVID time. So my research was done mainly online. I worked with a professor at and a scientist at Western in an imaging lab, and his focus was on renal imaging, so kidneys, and I kind of did a project on acute kidney injury, so it's just some sort of kidney disease basically, and we were looking at the current equations that are being used to diagnose acute kidney injury, and how, I guess that works kind of interestingly, but how it doesn't diagnose it for different populations. Like for example, it didn't work well for African Americans. The current equations, we were kind of seeing in populations if, you know, it was working out or not, and it wasn't. But yeah, so my research in that aspect was more so literature reviews and stuff like that, and it didn't create any publications at all, and I only presented at a conference that was hosted by the lab. So I know a lot of people think that, oh, you need a lot of publications, you need a lot of research experience to get into med school, but like, trust me, you'll be okay. Just do something that you're interested in. I enjoyed learning about kidneys because it was something that I was interested in, and I had like past like family issues with it. So I was like very passionate about this area of research. So I decided to go for it. It may not have been like a huge part of my application, but if it's something that you're passionate about, then, you know, you can still speak about it. And if research isn't a huge component of your application, I don't think, you know, people should be like, oh, it's not going to work out for me. Cause I had that same preconception when I was entering the cycle. I was like, oh, I don't know if this is really going to work out. But I think it just shows that like, if you have a very balanced application and you're doing things that you are passionate about, maybe it's not research, because not everyone enjoys research, you know, that much, right? So I think if you don't have a research position, don't fret, you'll be okay, you'll find something that you like, and even if you just, you know, do a thesis or you do one sort of thing with a professor, I think that'll show that you're still committed and furthering your education, even though it's not your most favorite thing to do. So yeah.
So our next part, next question is kind of changing gears a bit, but so empathy plays a big role in medicine. I think we can all agree that. How do you guys maintain or display that? Whoever wants to start off first, just go ahead.
Okay. Why don't I take this? You've answered a lot of the questions first. Okay. I think empathy is of course very important, but I think it's important to kind of distinguish it from like compassion, sympathy, empathy. Sometimes it's like very hard to like really know what is what. They're definitely all very connected, but I think empathy is, everyone says it, but like your ability to kind of feel what someone else is feeling, understand what they're going through, and kind of envisioning how it would be for you. And I think when it comes to empathy, I think it's important to, yes, be able to do that, but also be able to make sure that you know that you're a separate person at the same time, and not become totally engulfed in that. And I think it's not just important when it comes to, you know, like patients, of course, but even just your peers, your friends, your family, everyone, when you're able to understand why someone is acting a certain way or why someone's feeling a certain way, then you're better able to like talk to them about, maybe they just need someone to talk to, right? But if you're able to be like, okay, if you're able to understand that, then you're better able to, you know, offer that support. And I think a lot of that comes from like active listening and making sure that you're presently there, like wanting to hear exactly what they're saying and not kind of just letting it, you know, fly over your head, which is, you know, difficult at times when you've had a long day. So it's like completely understandable. But I think it's important to just remind yourself that you're in this position because someone trusts you and they're putting their faith in you and they're telling you things that they may not be comfortable sharing with a lot of people. And I think that allows you to kind of be like, okay, this is very important to someone. I'm making it important for myself as well because I want to help them, you know?
100%. Awesome. I think that was really well put. Sunjum, what about you?
I think that so far in like the last month, empathy with peers has been a very important thing because it's been such a big transition for a lot of people who like didn't go to McMaster before or who are like moving away for the first time or like who haven't experienced problem-based learning groups before and need help adjusting. So I'd say that like empathizing with people who are feeling overwhelmed is a big thing that has been happening this month. And just like Reba was saying, active listening is a really important component of that. And I think that like always cutting people some slack, for lack of a better word, like a lot of like what people do because of what they're experiencing isn't personal, especially when it comes to like peers or like preceptors or for us like in our tutorials, our tutors. Like if they have like schedule changes or if they're running behind, I think that empathy is very important in all factors of school so far. And like to give a specific example, we have like pro comp, professional competency, every Tuesday morning. So I had that today. And I think displaying empathy when someone else is vulnerably sharing their opinions or thoughts about like very sensitive subject matter, like for example, we discussed MAID today, medical assistance in dying. So like being empathetic to like perspectives and points of view and always staying respectful in that, I think that's been a really important thing so far.
Awesome. Okay, we have a couple more questions. I know we're being cautious of time here, but to move on to the next one here. In everyday life, we are often taught that failure or making mistakes is a part of growth. However, how do med students or soon-to-be doctors like yourselves view the process of making mistakes? That's a very loaded question.
I think making mistakes is very important. For clinical skills last week, we were practicing blood pressure and we're going to make lots of mistakes because probably no one's taken like a blood pressure with a stethoscope before. So in making those mistakes and being vulnerable to that, I think that's where you learn the most. And that's something that's very preached to us, like in tutorial, for example, like asking the wrong questions and then eventually getting to the right questions and having those discussions. And I think I learned in undergrad after a while that like the only way you learn is by making mistakes. And especially in med school, yes, the stakes are higher, but no one's expecting you to be perfect, which is refreshing. Because I think that in undergrad, I felt more of the pressure to be perfect than I do here. Especially in pre-clerkship, it's nice, relaxed. Just here to learn to make some mistakes and have a good time and have fun while learning. Gotcha. So yeah, I think making mistakes is important.
It sounds like there's sort of a balance between like, yes, it's okay to make mistakes, but also you guys are competent people. So you're making mistakes not out of because you want to, but because you're learning. Would that be like a fair assessment of what you said?
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, usually we're all very like, in order to get like where we are, we've had some sort of like, we've had to like do an MMI at MAC. And I think that like has screened out what kind of mistakes you're more likely to make. Like, if you're going to make a mistake in tutorial talking about like the trachea, that's not a big deal. We're just going to talk about it a bit more and we're going to figure it out. I guess that would, and how what we do at MAC too after our tutorials. So we have 2 3-hour tutorials per week. And we at the end of each tutorial, we have 30 minutes of feedback. So in our 30 minutes of feedback, we give feedback to each other, ourselves, the group, and we talk about our mistakes and we talk about our future steps. So it's a very like healthy space to make mistakes.
It's not like people are being like roasted every time they screw up.
Yeah, like- not at all. Okay. It's so positive, which is refreshing.
Live, laugh, love.
Live, laugh, love.
Reba, what about you?
I think refreshing is a very key word. Like whenever anyone has asked me how it's been so far, and I just say it's so refreshing, because there's very little penalization for making mistakes, and that's what allows you to feel comfortable making them. Whereas, you know, in the past, it's a little bit scary to make a mistake because, you know, it kind of has like a cascade effect. But here, like, because it is pre-clerkship and you're not exactly, you know, dealing with patients all the time and you're here to learn the basics, so then you're better able to do that in clerkship. I think you feel better making mistakes because everyone around you is doing the same thing and they're motivating you to make those mistakes. You know, they continually tell you that it's pass fail for a reason. You don't need to be perfect, but if you make those mistakes, then you know, okay, like I know the basics, so I'm good. I'm covered for this, but I didn't quite understand this part. So like, I will talk to you about it and we'll get to the bottom of it, so we can make sure we have that solid foundation. I also have like, we at U of T, we also have like case-based learnings where you're with a tutor and you ask questions, you go through a case and stuff like that. And they ask you questions that like, I don't know this. I've never learned this. Like, I don't know when's the right time to give allergy type of foods to babies. Like, I've never been in a situation where I could answer that, but you know, you give it your best shot and then you say an answer and they're like, maybe that's a bit too young, or maybe that's a bit too old. And then when you ask those questions and you make those mistakes, you're like, okay, I will remember this now because, you know, I've learned from it. So I think I always, for me personally, I always remember the things that I made a mistake on because I don't want to make it again. So I think having this environment where you're making these consistent mistakes, you're more likely to remember. And I think that's really great. That's a really good part about pre-clerkship.
Awesome.
I was going to say, like, it just sounds like mistakes are really facilitating both of your learnings, and like, you guys kind of need to make mistakes so you can continue learning.
100%.
Yeah.
Anything else? Okay, so the next question, since we're really focusing on like you guys as medical students and your journey to like med school, we kind of want to know, who is Reva and who is Sunjum outside of med school? Sunjum, okay, go.
Love it. Outside of med school, Sunjum is someone who loves her family. So obviously I mentioned my sister earlier on, we're very close. And I'm close with all of my like cousins on my mom's side. So I love my family. I call them every day, cousins, little cousins included. Sunjum is now also someone who loves to cook, which is great. So I have my own apartment, which I'm very happy about. And because I now have a fridge to myself, all the love to Archana, I can now cook and make delicious food. So I'm making like Italian wedding soup tonight, but vegan. Whoa. Delicious. And I'm making zucchini loaf. Whoa. I have the time and the means now. It's great. What else about me? And Sunjum is also a visual artist. I like to paint. Wow. I like to make little cards for my friends. And I'm currently like decorating my apartment. So making some sketches, painting some stuff out. I like to do many, many things outside of school, all of the things outside of school, to make it seem like school is like the vacation and like this is just my life. Gotcha. Yeah, so that's a little bit about me.
I love that.
A woman of many talents.
Honestly.
Can I say?
Okay, Reva, who is Reva outside of med school?
Well, I also love my family dearly. I also have been trying to have more hobbies, try to fill up my time a bit more with things outside of school. I think we finally get a chance to do that and it's like so nice. I also love painting, but I haven't been able to paint for a long time. So it's been really nice to kind of just like, okay, I'm back from school. Like, let me do something that doesn't have to do with the human body. Like, that'd be kind of nice for a moment. I'm also trying to kind of get into a better physical activity situation with myself. I'm a bit lazy, so I'm hoping to incorporate the gym more into my lifestyle. We're trying, we'll start baby steps a couple of days a week, but I'm hoping that can become a constant in my life. I think most of my time I just trying and I guess hang out with people as much as possible, whatever capacity that is, whether it's on FaceTime, whether it's like actually just having a lunch with someone. I think I really value that after, you know, I think a lot of people value that after what we've all been through. But me especially, I tended to in the undergrad kind of lock myself away. So I'm really trying to, you know, make sure that I'm using this time to make those connections with people and prioritize that part of my life as well as the school as well. And I think it's been really nice to kind of create a new balance.
Awesome. You also sound like a live, laugh, love kind of moment going on. Out of curiosity, random question, does U of T have like a gym membership incorporated in their tuition? Because I know Mac doesn't.
Oh, they don't really. No. Oh, yes, they do. And well, I guess I know more about Mississauga gym, but the gym is amazing. Super brand new. It's gorgeous. And actually a lot of the classes are included as well. So I definitely want to do like some sort of class because that was not included in my Western gym membership. I remember that. But yeah, and it's right next to the health sciences building. So works out well. I really should have no excuse. I should be going there more often.
Hey, it takes baby steps. It literally took Sonia and I waking up at 7 a.m. to go to the gym. And I think after a while, we finally got like a good rhythm. And then I couldn't stop going to the gym.
And then I did. But I'm back. I did buy my membership today, though.
Okay, okay.
Yep, good. So we splurged a little bit on that at Mac. But oh, by the way, for the viewers, to clarify, you do get it in your undergrad, but not with grad school. And I don't think for med school either. Do you?
We don't. Okay, so apparently we just can't go to the Pulse. The Pulse is like the weight room. I don't know. I've never been there. But the Pulse and pop-up Pulse you can't go to, but you can go to everything else. And importantly for me, you can go to the pool still. So it's kind of, it's okay. It's not as bad as you thought. It's the bus pass that hits harder.
Oh,
you know, the lack of bus pass. Do you guys get a bus pass?
Yeah.
I'm
still driving.
We get one as well.
Well, we don't get a bus pass, unfortunately. So might have to buy one off an undergrad if you guys know anyone.
I was gonna say, if you ever want to commute to school and split parking, let me know.
Yay.
If you guys are deciding which med school to go, this is for our viewers. So Mac doesn't have a bus pass or the Pulse membership, but UFT does. So
but not the St. George campus. The Mississauga campus.
Mississauga way, guys. Just for the viewers.
All right. So with that being said,
deciding factors.
Absolutely. But yeah, with that being said, that was our very last question. Guys, thank you so much for your engagement and your responses. They were very thorough and eloquent. But yeah, that wraps up today's session. And audiences, bye.
Bye.
Oh, no, wait. Oh, no. You got him.
Yeah.